program. The opinions contained within do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or sponsors of News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310.
Inside the Law is presented to educate listeners in Monmouth and Ocean counties about legal issues. The opinions expressed by the host, guests, and phone callers are strictly their own and do not necessarily reflect those of Town Square Media and are not intended to be a substitute for personal legal advice from your own attorney.
Your questions and comments are welcome at 732-505-1160. Inside the Law, talk radio for the Jersey Shore.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to another edition of Inside the Law, broadcast here on WOBM AM and 1160 AM in Ocean County and 1310 AM in Monmouth County and all over the world on WOBMAM.com. The show is sponsored by the law firm of Novi & Associates, a boutique elder law firm that practices both in Ocean and Monmouth County, and I'll explain a little bit later on, if time permits, what elder law is all about. But in any event, we welcome you, the listener, to sit back, listen to the show, and as always, if you have questions of today's guests, please feel free to call our station. Our phone lines are open. Our number here at the studio is 732-505-1160. And as always, I encourage you to have a pen and pad handy because we give out important information, phone numbers, upcoming events, and a lot much more. So please enjoy the show. Please welcome today's guest, who is an expert in his field, and that is Dr. John Salisbury. Dr. Salisbury is a physician with Visiting Physicians who will talk about house calls, health care, at-home medicine versus traditional medicine, and future trends in medicine and home care as well. Good morning, Dr. Salisbury.
Good morning, Bob.
How long have you been practicing medicine?
I graduated med school in 1984, so this would make it my 31st year as a physician.
And needless to say, I'm sure you've seen a lot of changes, a lot of differences in medicine and healthcare, going back to when you were in medical school to when you started practicing medicine and what it's become today.
Sure.
And the direction, I guess we could say, is heading in the future.
Yeah, it sure has changed in 30 years, as everybody knows.
I remember as a kid, if I got sick, if it was an emergency, my mom or dad would rush me to the emergency room if it was something serious. But if it was something fairly minor, but my folks thought I needed to see a doctor, if possible, they'd either bring me to the doctor's office or the doctor would make house calls. And for years, that hasn't been the case. So how did the visiting physicians and yourself get into actually returning to the old practice of actually making house calls? How did that come about, if you know?
Well, Bob, I'm board certified in family medicine, and I grew up and recalled my grandmother getting house calls for bad rheumatoid arthritis. And in our residency program at John F. Kennedy Hospital of Medicine, as part of the curriculum, house calls were included in that. So it wasn't such a far cry for me to think about, you know, offering those kind of services as part of being a family physician. When I started to make the house calls, I envisioned it being more of family medicine and including pediatric visits for moms and dads that didn't want to have to sit in an office full of sick kids, or people like yourself at work who didn't want to sit in an office or lose a whole day, that I could make a visit and make it worthwhile to take care of their more common needs at that point.
Of course, I remember as a kid when I knew the doctor was coming, and if I thought I was going to be in store for a needle, I usually tried to hide, either lock the room, my bedroom, or hide under the bed. But now, obviously, people, especially our elderly population here in Ocean and Monmouth County, obviously embrace it because it's easier for them where the doctor can come to them versus if they have to get in the car or rely on some kind of transportation, which the Board of Freeholders in Ocean County do have an ocean ride program. But the problem with relying on others to get to a physician or a hospital is you have to wait for them to show up. And even for routine, regularly scheduled doctor visits, you have to clear it with the county and you have to get on a calendar. And you might have to wait two or so weeks out unless it's an emergency. And that's not always practical to know the next time you're going to have to see a doctor. So having a doctor come to you, the patient, is a heck of a lot easier, obviously, for the patient, especially being a senior. What are some of the areas of medicine and services that the visiting physicians cover? What types of doctors theoretically or routinely will make those kinds of house calls?
Well, all of our physicians are board certified either in internal medicine or family medicine. A couple of them have geriatric specialties. All of us have been primarily doing geriatrics for a long period of time.
And I know you're one of them.
Right. So, you know, we have about 3,000 patients who we've become the primary care physicians for. So we handle pretty much everything like the old-time primary care doc did, or what they called your family physician. So we handle their cardiology issues, dermatology, psychiatry, their diabetes, their respiratory problems, and their day-to-day problems with coughs, colds, fevers, flu shots, scrapes, bumps, all of those kind of things right in the home.
If I know in the past some of my clients would start to exhibit unusual, aberrant, out-of-the-norm kind of behavior, and I learned over the years that there are many causes for that, and one of them might be something relatively as simple as a urinary tract infection, and in the past, sometimes the patient, the client, would have to go out to a lab or to the hospital, have a urinary tract infection either confirmed or ruled out. Are those kinds of tests able to also be done at home, or do they still have to go to a clinic or somewhere to have that kind of thing done, or blood tests?
That's really one of the fantastic things that we're able to do now, which is that we can do lab work, x-rays, EKGs, Holter monitors, ultrasounds. We can do all of those procedures in the home due to the new technologies. And, you know, frequently, as you say, pick up earlier some of these problems that could have ended up in an unnecessary hospitalization. That's really what our goal is, to keep people out of the hospital. We kind of think hospitals are a bad place for sick people.
Well, I know years ago going to a doctor's office, frankly, if you weren't sick when you were waiting at sometimes an hour or two or longer to see the doctor, by the time you were seen and left there, oftentimes you were sick because so many other people around you had some kind of a contagious disease that you could easily pick up. And I know, I'm sure you're going to confirm this, that hospitals always are not always the best places to treat people, especially the frail and the elderly. And do you want to expound upon that?
Well, the elderly population really needs a special kind of a care, and they're fragile. And you get into your 80s, like many, many of our patients are, and some smaller, minor things that can happen to you can become really problematic when you get into a hospital situation where there's isolation, you're not seeing people frequently, there's disruption of sleep, disruption of what you're eating, changes in the medications you're used to taking, a lot of different tests, a lot of different people, a lot of different physicians, and it's not necessarily the best place for an elderly person to spend a lot of time. We like to be able to have patients of ours that do go to the hospital be able to still have some control over what happens when they get there, kind of guide the hospitalists who do our admissions for us into what it is we're looking to accomplish with their being at the hospital, rather than it become kind of a treasure hunt to see what else can be found.
And also, among other reasons, I know you know this firsthand because you're certainly affected by it, as is all medicine, and that is the constant cutbacks in Medicare funding, reimbursement, and especially now under the Affordable Health Care Act as it's now being implemented. And one of the constant issues that I'm hearing about daily, and you may have some insight on it, is sometimes a senior will present themselves at the hospital, and they're in the emergency room, but they're, quote, not admitted. They're evaluated by an emergency room doctor, and then they're put in what they call observation, but they're not admitted. And if they're, quote, not admitted as a patient, and then they have to be transferred somewhere else, like for subacute or what have you, for further treatment, Medicare may not cover all or part of the care. Can you shed any light on what that's all about?
Well, Medicare has made blanket cuts across the board to all parts of the medical industry, whether it be home health aid agencies, hospitals, emergency rooms, physicians. The Senate finally yesterday just voted on a bill to extend payment to physicians. There was scheduled to be a 21% cut in April that, again, for about the last 12 years, I would say every year it comes right up to the wire to midnight where they finally do approve new funding for that. So, but there are changes due to the Affordable Care Act that have been cuts and reimbursements. And it's just that observation area. It used to be easier, let's say, for me to send somebody to the hospital and say, I think, Mary Smith needs an admission, and they would get admitted. But now frequently I'm finding them being sent home without really having addressed many, many of the issues that used to get addressed. So I don't have that solution to it. I think it is a national problem. It's not a Democratic or Republican problem.
Not at all.
It's really a national problem that I think needs to be addressed by both parties.
I just want to remind our listeners, you're listening to 1160 WOBM AM in Ocean County, 1310 AM in Monmouth County, and all over the world on WOBMAM.com. As always, I want to remind your listeners, our phone lines are open. Our number at the studio is 732-505-1160. And as always, if you miss any part of today's show or prior broadcasts of other issues affecting law, medicine, elder care, and the like, from a tax issue, an estate issue, a guardianship issue, or any elder law or elder care issue, you can frequently learn a lot more about our subject matter and ways you can protect yourselves. And among other things, we like to advocate at Novian Associates, learn strategies on aging in place. And you can learn more about that by not only listening to today's show this morning, but by also viewing our website, which is Novy, N-O-V-Y, law.com, because we not only explain in further detail the various areas of our practice, but we also have a number of articles that you can click on or download. We also have an electronic newsletter that we regularly send out to our friends and colleagues and existing clients. And even if you're not an existing client, but you'd like to be included in our electronic newsletter, all you need to do is call us at 732-657-0600. You can ask for my marketing director, Jake Mason, and he'll be glad to add you to our newsletter mail list if you provide us with your email address. Or if you don't want to do that or you don't maintain one, but you'd like to receive a hard copy, a paper copy of our newsletter, again, call Jake Mason at 732-657-0600. And with your name and address, he'll be glad to mail you one as a courtesy for listening to today's show. And any way we can help you and keep you informed, we look forward to that. Again, I'm speaking with John Salisbury, who's a physician with Visiting Physicians. And we're talking about the current status of healthcare and, in particular, the services that the visiting physicians provide as visiting physicians who actually make house calls, which is a rare and a very significant service available to people both in Ocean and Monmouth County. John, if, let's say, a new person, a potential new patient, wants to retain visiting physicians, I assume first they would call the office, and that number 732-571-1000?
Yes.
Or they can call, and you're now, I know, part of the VNA, the Visiting Nurses Association, and they have a health group number, which is 732-747-1204. Before the first visit, is there paperwork that you usually would send them? Because I know when you go to see a new physician, normally they try and get a profile and, you know, get a background of you. And how do you gather that information of prior doctors and what medications and what pharmacies? And how do you kind of get a sense of the patient if they're starting with you fresh, especially if they maybe moved here from somewhere else or their doctor's no longer practicing? How do you kind of get that background? Because that can be time-consuming.
Sure. What happens is when people call our office, it's, appointments are made much like they're made for any doctor's office. Our staff, which are unbelievable, I got to give them some props here on the air.
They are very good. We've used them as well.
They're really terrific, and we're currently getting our electronic health record up and running as required under the Affordable Care Act. But we do gather a lot of information on that initial phone call, which includes insurance cards, medications maybe they're taking, why they're making the call, how did they hear about us as a referral, and what's the primary reason for the visit. And then that visit gets made pretty promptly, usually I would say within about 48 to 72 hours. We're not an emergency service, so we're not going to run out for somebody having chest pain in the middle of the night.
You would send them to the ER, obviously.
Yeah, obviously, in that kind of a situation. But our, we do get out there pretty quickly and then ascertain what needs they have. Initial visits are always made by a physician. And then we do utilize nurse practitioners and physician's assistants who become very familiar with that patient and help manage their care plan. Now that we're part of the VNA Health Group of New Jersey, we can utilize physical therapists, occupational therapists, skilled nursing, home health aides, palliative care, hospice, and really direct them and get the maximum benefits that they're eligible for.
My wife was a nurse for, actually, she still is a nurse, although she doesn't practice per se. I use her more as a consultant and guide to help me with my clients, but she worked for years in public health with the VNA up in Newark, and then came down to Long Branch, and then she went into assisted living as an assisted living administrator. But I know it's a daunting task and a big responsibility. Lauren, I understand we have a call on line one. Good morning, Bisha. Thank you for tuning in to Inside the Law. How can I and Dr. Salisbury help you?
Hi. Two questions. I tuned in a little late, so I'm not sure everything that you had just said.
Okay.
Who pays for the home visits?
That's a good question. Doc, how do you guys get paid?
The vast majority of our patients are Medicare. Medicare does cover home visits for patients who have a difficult time getting out. They need to be homebound insofar as generally they're not driving their own car. It doesn't mean that they don't leave the house ever, but it requires a taxing effort for them to leave the home. And in those cases, Medicare does cover our services. The 20% that Medicare doesn't cover is generally covered by whatever secondary insurance they may have, like AARP, Aetna, U.S. Healthcare. Medicaid can be their secondary insurance. We don't currently accept managed Medicare, not so much because we don't want to, but because managed Medicare hasn't quite come around to the idea yet of providing home health care services.
Okay.
All righty. So you're associated with the VNA of Central Jersey or Meridian?
VNA of Central Jersey.
So if a patient is getting home care through the VNA, i.e. PTSD, OT, they would send you out as the adjunct physician?
If the patient doesn't have a referring primary physician, they could make a recommendation of us becoming the primary care physician. We do also we do also work with all of the other nursing agencies, though, within the state, whether it be Meridian, Atlantic Healthcare Services, Barnabas, the many, many different hospices. We do what's best for the patient.
All right, last question. What hospital system are you affiliated with?
Well, Visiting Physician Services is in 8 counties in New Jersey, from Passaic and Bergen up to the north, all the way down to Waretown here in Ocean County, out to about Monroe, and I would say that Route 287 is probably the western border when you get a little further up north. So each hospital, you know, that covers 30 to 40 hospitals. And at each hospital, we've got an arrangement with either the hospitalist at that hospital or an admitting physician who will take an admission through our office.
Great. Oh, all right. Great.
Now,
thank you.
Bisha, before you go, Doc, I know a lot of the hospitals for efficiency now have to have electronic record keeping, and doctors that have privileges there are tied in to that system, like the Barnabas system, I think, uses a program called Cerner.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a patient who's been a visiting physician or VNA patient, are you able to electronically share your records with the hospitalist in that hospital system? Because they might be different systems, computer systems.
This could be another 3-hour conversation,
okay.
Bob. I think that level of integration, which is the biggest drawback currently with electronic health records, is that there's no common platform.
Unfortunately, there isn't.
And we still end up faxing paper to hospitals and hospitalists which we do. You know, if someone goes to the hospital, I usually generally will call the emergency room and speak with the triage nurse and explain who's coming in, what their name is, and that we're going to fax over their most current chart and medication list. That's still more efficient, unfortunately, than an integrated electronic health record.
Exactly. And
I do have one question.
Yes.
Not to sound antiquated, what is a hospitalist?
A hospitalist is a new specialty over the last 10 years or so of a physician who manages patients while they're in the hospital, whether they're in the intensive care unit, cardiac care unit. They are very good at managing those patients, ordering the tests, getting the results, and they'll get the results frequently in that same day or within the hour of it being done rather than at the end of the day, a doctor sitting down and going through his call list. It's more efficient, and it's actually better health care.
A house doc, as we used to say years ago.
Right, yeah.
There
it's kind of like you got a staff of house docs.
Exactly. Well, thank you, gentlemen.
You're welcome. Thank you for taking the time to listen and share your questions with us here on Inside the Law. And enjoy the rest of the weekend.
You too.
Happy Palm Sunday.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot more to cover, but before we do, please stay tuned for these important announcements. And when we come back, we're going to share a lot more information with you about healthcare with Dr. John Salisbury from the Visiting Physicians. You're listening to Inside the Law. We'll be back after these important messages. Thank you.
Is Tommy asleep?
Yes. Thanks for tackling the dishes. I'll dry.
I stopped in to check on Dad after work.
Oh, how is he?
Fine. He's thinking about moving to assisted living. And he brought up the topic of his will.
Well, that's a pretty gloomy topic.
Not really. All his life, Dad has been such a planner. You know, dots all of his I's and crosses all of his T's. And he asked if we have wills as well.
Us? But we're still young.
Yes, but think about it. If something, heaven forbid, ever happens to us, what happens to Tommy?
Oh, I never thought about that.
Neither have I, till Dad brought it up.
Well, then perhaps we should get in touch with a lawyer to take care of this matter as soon as possible.
From creating or revising a will to knowing what your legal obligations are when buying or selling a home, understanding taxes or needing help with assisted living, depend on valuable guidance from Novi & Associates in Manchester and Seagirt. They've been helping people of all ages easily understand legal concepts that will affect them and their families. Call Novi & Associates today at 732-657-0600 or visit online at novilaw.com.
It's one of the things I've been advocating. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. You're listening to another edition of Inside the Law, brought to you by the Law Offices of Novi & Associates. We're your boutique elder law firm here in Ocean and Monmouth County, and our offices are located in Manchester Township, and we have a second office in Seagirt. And to make an appointment, all you need to do is call 732-657-0600. And as always, you're welcome to view our website at Novi, NOVYlaw.com, where you'll find a lot more information about elder law, the array of services we provide, numerous articles we've written over the years, a calendar of events of different speaking engagements we're involved in throughout the year, and various activities and things that you can participate in. Along those lines, I'll be speaking at Charlie Brown's seminar later in April, talking about the impact and interaction of financial powers of attorney, medical powers of attorney, living wills, estate planning, and much, much more. We'll be doing one as well in May at the Clarion and Tom's River. We'll be doing one in May at the Pine Barrens in Jackson. So to learn more about the specific topics, the locations, and the dates, again, please feel free to view our website at novilaw.com. And if we can accommodate you, we would be glad to include you in that audience. And if not, or if you're active in a group or organization, just as Dr. Salisbury and his group make house calls, we make house calls too. And if your group or organization would like to have a speaker or a series of speakers come out and talk on subjects that you'd like to learn more about, it might be the Affordable Care Act, it might be elder law, it might be financial planning, tax issues, real estate, prearranged funerals, Medicaid, a whole array of services, please call us at Novi & Associates at 732-657-0600. As a matter of fact, I became familiar with visiting physicians through a networking group that I'm president of. It's called the Senior Resource Alliance, and one of Dr. Salisbury's colleagues, Donna Acapinti, is a representative from Visiting Physicians. So we focus on providing quality legal, financial, and various other services as specialists who specialize in elder care and elder law and elder financial issues through the Senior Resource Alliance. So to learn more about that as well, again, call 732-657-0600. Doc, I know we have a lot more to cover, but before we do, Lauren, I just say we have another caller on line one. Liz, thank you for calling Inside the Law. How can we help you?
Yes, I have a question for Dr. Salisbury. We have a neighbor that's very elderly, a single woman.
Yes.
And my husband and I help out a lot. He mows the lawn, helps house repairs, and I grocery shop for her. But as time has gone on, she's become more and more of a recluse. I mean, she just never, ever leaves her house, not even to get the mail. We have to bring it up to her. But we've noticed less just recently, she seems to be having a little trouble breathing, and her cheeks are always flushed, and we really think she should get to a doctor, but I don't think we're going to be able to get her out of the house. Is she the kind of person that you would come to see?
Yes, Liz, she is. We do get referrals like that from neighbors who are concerned and from other agencies like Adult Protective Services, Office on Aging. Somebody like her, you know, if she's willing to be seen, you know, we could actually contact her. Bob can get your information, I imagine.
Yes.
We can actually give her a call. We have to be careful with HIPAA and things like that. But, you know, HIPAA is the Health and Privacy and Protection Act. But we do go out and see many patients on the referral from a neighbor. And if she's open to having that done, that can be done. If she's not and you have real concerns, I would suggest then that you could make a call to Adult Protective Services. They can open
I don't think she'd have any problems. She just doesn't want to go out.
Right.
But she's pretty receptive about people coming in.
Well, yes, we would certainly be happy to come and see her.
If you provide Laura with our with your phone number, we can pass it on to Dr. Salisbury and Visiting Physicians. And that brings up a very good point that you you reminded me of, Liz. Doc, you mentioned HIPAA. A lot of times clients will have health issues. They'll see a doctor, or the doctor like your group will come and see them, and then a family member will call the parent, the patient, and say, all right, Mom, what did the doctor tell you? What did he prescribe and why and what's going on? And the patient says, I don't really understand it. I don't really know. So the family member calls the doctor or visiting physicians and says, all right, what's going on with Mom? Under HIPAA, you really can't share that information, can you, unless the patient gives you an authorization to do so.
Right. Right, Bob. On the initial visit, we have a HIPAA disclosure form that gives us names and phone numbers of people who we are allowed to share their information with. Otherwise, we have absolutely no way of knowing who's really on the other line.
Exactly, which is why
My neighbor could do something like that because we're going to be the ones that have to fill any prescriptions for her.
Absolutely.
Sure.
And so if Dr. Salisbury or one of his colleagues were to come to your neighbor's house, your neighbor could sign the appropriate authorization so that any information with your neighbor's consent can be given to you or whomever she'd like to have access to it. Similarly, as an attorney, I would strongly recommend, among other things, to make sure that your client has both a financial power of attorney and a medical power of attorney, besides other documents such as a living will and a will and so forth, because in the medical power of attorney, it names someone that your neighbor would be comfortable having act as her spokesperson or what we call a healthcare proxy, who can advocate for her if she's not able to understand, not able to sign any consents, or not able to decide on her care plan and treatment, and even authorize hiring home health aides if that's the appropriate service so that she can hopefully age in place and stay within the privacy and dignity of her own home. But that can all be accomplished by your neighbor and friend giving someone the ability to act on her behalf, to advocate for her and help make decisions and also pay for any services she might need if she's not able to do it or on her own and needs assistance.
That's another question I have for you, is that she really has nobody but us. And we're just, my husband and I want to help her out, but we don't want to be responsible for her bills or anything like that.
Well, legally, if your neighbor were to give someone a financial power of attorney, what that means is that the person she gives that power to, that responsibility to, who would be her financial agent, is obligated to preserve and protect what she has, but not to personally pay or guarantee out of their own pockets. Rather, the person who's named in that financial power of attorney is simply saying, if you need help paying your bills, you or whoever she names is willing to accept that responsibility. But you, neither you nor your husband would be personally responsible to pay your neighbor's bills out of your own pocket. It's simply an authorization which would allow you to access her records and pay any bills she has out of her funds, not your own.
If it was absolutely necessary, does your law firm make a house call?
We certainly do make house calls, along with, as Dr. Salisbury and the visiting physicians do. Yes, we do make house calls as well. And it's probably not a day or at least a week that doesn't go by where either I or one of my members of my firm, along with some of our paralegals, do regularly go out and make house calls for those very reasons. And when I'm involved in a health care and an elder law situation, frankly, my clients and or their family members are given my home phone number and my cell phone number, because we're in situations where they don't have family available. Sometimes we are asked to take on that responsibility, as you may be doing for your neighbor in Jackson. So,
well, that's really, I'm so glad I called, because this is something that's been worrying us for a long time. I think it's wonderful that the doctors will come to houses and lawyers will. These people need help.
Well, Liz, it's terrific that you're involved and have an interest in her. So many people out there have nobody to help them get through the difficult time as we're all living older.
Yeah, it's true.
She's such a sweetie pie. She really is.
Yeah, and you want her to at least have an opportunity, if at all possible, to continue to live out her life with dignity and a privacy of her own home. And I, as Dr. Salisbury just said, I applaud and appreciate your interest as a caring individual. Your neighbor's lucky to have you. And it has to be, as it is for me, and I'm sure the doctor, gratifying when you're able to help someone. And if you can help them in their own home, that's even more meaningful and significant in their own lives, because it's important that we know that we're not alone. As has been said before, we're all part of the same village.
Well, thank you so much for taking my questions today.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. And again, if you need any further information or information on how to get a hold of visiting physicians, feel free to call us at Novine Associates at 732-657-0600. Thanks for spending some of your Saturday morning with us, and enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Hopefully you'll be hearing from me shortly.
Look
Thank
forward
you so
to
much.
It. Thank you,
Thank
Liz.
You.
Bye now. Bye-bye. Doc, I'm sure that there has to be a substantial economic component to all of this, and Medicare, and how it affects us, both the senior and our overall economy.
Sure.
Can you explain to our listeners how that impacts
sure.
society?
Sure. It's pretty astounding. If you look at the healthcare dollar that gets spent in the United States right now, you have between 3 to 4 million seniors who are living with chronic multiple illnesses that are not receiving any care. They're too ill to leave the home to even be visited or to visit their own physician. This is expected to grow to 6 to 8 million by the year 2025. The more astounding number is that 10% of our population use two-thirds of the entire healthcare dollar.
Wow.
So when you look at healthcare savings, and, you know, when we're looking at hearing them in Washington talk about savings and cuts and everything else, the focus needs to be on those, what we like to call advanced illness patients, which we are all going to be at some point. I always jokingly tell my patients that life is a terminal illness.
Sure.
And address how do we more efficiently deliver health care to those 6 to 8 million people without every single medical encounter being through the emergency room and a hospital visit. The average hospital visit right now probably costs Medicare about $25,000.
Wow.
Visiting physician services takes care of the average patient, seeing them about 10 times per year for the sicker patients for a grand total of $1,500.
So $1,500 for that average patient that you treat about 10 times a year versus the patient who presents him or herself at a hospital, which costs Medicare about $25,000 or $27,000.
It can be an astounding number just from a slip out of a wheelchair at an assisted living where that patient has to get sent currently and have a CAT scan of the head and ultrasounds of their carotid arteries and everything on the planet when many, many times it's unnecessary testing. And so I think that New Jersey people are very lucky that they have a visiting physician service. I'm not just saying that because I had started it, but it's not the usual. It is out of the ordinary. There are groups across the United States who are starting to make house calls again, but it's certainly not the ordinary at this point.
Another issue that will affect wellness and recuperation and, of course, the cost of health care is the length of stay. I've been advocating as an elder law attorney for years that, and it goes back to the issue of electronics and record keeping. I've been advocating where possible, if hospitals can use the technology that they have and give patients, for example, an opportunity to pre-register with the hospital as they can pre-register with visiting physicians.
Mm-hmm.
And as they become, let's say, a frequent patient of the hospital, because Medicare wants to reduce the number of visits for all the right reasons, illness-wise and financially. But if the patient can pre-record or pre-register with the hospital, as well as with you guys, you folks, their legal documents, such as their medical power of attorney, their financial power of attorney, their living will, and so forth, in the event treatment is necessary and the patient isn't able to consent to the treatment or they need an advocate to help them, I would think the more information you have as a treating physician, just as the hospital has, might help in the treatment, diagnosis, and where possible, discharge of the patient, because the sooner they get out of that facility, hopefully the less likely they are to contract another infection. They're more than likely going to rebound, hopefully, back at home, which will be better for them and, of course, a lot less expensive to Medicare in the system. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I think that the more information that that we can have about that patient, the better we can manage what they really need. There's so much duplication of testing. Chest x-ray was done last week and it gets done this week and go to a different facility and it's done again another week. One of the big issues and problems that we encounter is what we call polypharmacy.
I'm very familiar with it.
And that's where patients are on way too many medications that they belong on. One of the ways this happens is that when a patient goes into the hospital, hospitals have what are called formularies. That means that they stock maybe 8 different blood pressure medications. If yours isn't on that list, they then start you on one of their 8 medications. And frequently I'll see that patient get discharged to home. They restart their old medication, stay on the new medication. The next thing you know, they're dropping their blood pressure and having a fall.
Because they're duplicating and taking double whatever more than they should.
So that's one of the issues that would prevent in your idea of having a better registered thing. When they get discharged also, then the visiting health services, whether it's a visiting nurse, can justify their meds and make sure that they are taking the correct ones. But many times we spend inordinate amounts of time just trying to track down what was done while they were in the hospital, what medications they were discharged on. One of the advantages of a house call is that we get to actually see the medications.
So you look in the medicine cabinet or you look on a counter and look at all the things and who prescribed it and what pharmacies are filling it and so forth.
And medications are so expensive nowadays that you'll have patients who don't fill those prescriptions because they're too expensive.
Unfortunately.
And they're embarrassed by that frequently.
Yes. And or they'll split the prescription in half.
Or they'll take it every other day. And, you know, it is an embarrassing situation for them to not be able to afford their medications. And when they would make a normal visit to the doctor's office, they may say, sure, doc, I'm taking the medication.
Exactly.
We actually look in the refrigerator. We get the chance to see their nutritional status. Are there hygiene issues for them? It's really a much better way to really get a full idea of the family dynamics for that patient.
So you can see them in their normal, natural environment as opposed to kind of coming to you or coming to a hospital or a doctor's office where it's kind of an abstract perspective or view of the patient as opposed to seeing them in their home where they're spending most of their daily life.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
It's
a shame, you know, and some of that's going away with, you know, I'm sure many of your listeners have had the experience of going to the doctor's office and his back is to them while he types on a laptop.
That's true.
And I don't know how we're going to resolve that issue either, where some of the real hands-on medicine just doesn't take place anymore.
Exactly, because the doctor, if he's filling out he or she's on a laptop, they're not using all their senses and doing a real up-close observation of the patient with all their senses and paying attention to what the patient's saying and looking at them with their own eyes. That's a good point. Lorna, we have a caller on line one. Tom, thank you for tuning in to Inside the Law here on 1160 WOBM and 1310 in Monmouth County. How can I and Dr. Salisbury help you?
Yeah, I have a question for Dr. Salisbury.
Okay.
Do you have a list of the type of treatments you treat at home, the price on them, cost? And whether or not they're covered by Medicare, and could you mail something like that out to?
Tom. Generally we don't have a price list or anything like that because our services are covered by Medicare. So what happens when somebody gets a visit is everything that gets done gets billed out under what's called fee for service, and it's at different levels of service. We can sometimes predict what the explanation of benefits is going to look like when you get it. If it's not something that's covered under Medicare, we really make sure that the patient is aware that it's not a covered service and that they don't get stuck with a bill down the road that's a surprise to either one of us.
Right. Very good.
Is there any literature, Doc, if Tom or any other person listening to today's show on Inside the Law would like to learn more about either the
link? Give me in a minute.
The different services, or just learn more about both the VNA and visiting physicians.
Sure. If Tom wants to leave your somebody here his name and address, I'll make sure he gets mailed out an information packet. We also do have a website that's visiting-physician.com, which if you're savvy with using computers, you can have a look, and it does tell all the different services that we do offer and our network of different people that we can refer out for help.
Okay, so, Tom, if you hold on a minute, Lorna, our sound engineer, will take your name and number, and if you give her your address, she'll be glad to pass that on to the doc, and he'll have visiting physicians send you that, or you can, of course, go on their website at visiting-physician.com, and that'll explain their services. Or, of course, you can call their main number at 732-571-1000. And in any way you contact them, they'll be glad to send you the information you're looking for.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, and have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Now, Doc, you've been practicing medicine for 34 years. Is there a typical day in your life, and what does it look like?
Nothing's typical.
Nor mine either.
If I was to describe, you know, my average day, I get up in the morning and I get my schedules made out by our staff the day before. So I receive it, through email, secure email.
Okay.
Print out my schedule generally, or I use a, tablet kind of a device. And, generally I will see about 8 patients per day. There may be a mix in there of maybe 6 established patients who I know when I'm doing a follow-up on, whether I've changed blood pressure medications or treating a wound, and perhaps 2 to 3 new patients per day, which are a little more lengthy. They last about an hour for that visit, in which I get a full medical history. I look at their medications. We do a full exam. Frequently, family members will be present at that. We have a discussion about a care plan, what referrals can be made, what kind of help we can get for that patient. And, you know, my day, I probably drive between 80 and 110 miles per day.
Easily.
And put a lot of miles on that car. And real quick, funny story, when I first started this practice, you know, you have to get a license to generate medical waste, whether it be syringes and things like that. And the state called me up and said, we need to come to your office and examine how you're storing your medical waste. And I said, I don't have an office. I'm working out of my car. And the state official actually met me at the Cheesequake rest area, opened the trunk, took a look at my Sharps container, and then handed me my certificate. So we've become a little more sophisticated over the 20 years of having had visiting physicians. And but that's the typical day. Our average patient's probably between 70 and 105.
Really?
And they have chronic multiple illnesses. You know, frequently they've got arthritis and maybe emphysema, congestive heart failure, hypertension. If they're bedbound, they may have bed sores that we need to get proper care for.
Which is a very important issue, because I know if they're not addressed promptly, they become a source of a site for infection.
Oh, they're catastrophic. You can start with a bed sore the size of a dime, and within a week's time, you can become infected throughout your whole bloodstream.
Which can lead to sepsis, and I've seen stage four wounds where the person is, unfortunately, patient has died from them because they weren't properly addressed.
Right.
And people are living longer. So generally speaking, are there any tips that you would give our listening audience, bearing in mind that this is an elder law, elder care type of an audience that listens to us on Inside the Law? Any recommendations or tips you would give to, let's say, the average senior who might be in that range of 70 to 105, who hopefully is listening to today? Any things or recommendations you'd give them, of course, on a generic basis, holistic basis?
Yeah, I would. You know, I do a fair number of lectures throughout the year to senior groups, and I would say one of the most enlightening lectures I give is on nutrition. I think nutrition is extremely important in the elderly. I think because meal planning and preparation are difficult and shopping is difficult, there tend to be poor nutrition, too much carbohydrates, what we call the tea and cookies diet, or canned vegetables and soups, which are very salty and create problems. So if there's anything that they can help with nutrition, there are programs throughout, whether it be Meals on Wheels, some other food banks and things like that, if they have financial problems. I think nutrition is really one of the most important things. I think the second thing is involvement in their health care and asking a lot of questions. One of the lectures I talk about is how to be a better patient. And people spend more time looking into, you know, buying a new car than they look into their own health care. And the questions you want to always ask, whether it's a new medication or a treatment or a surgery, is, do I have to have this? Is there something I can do differently than this? How long will I be taking this medication? Are there things with this disease process that I can be a part of to help not have a reoccurrence, particularly in things like congestive heart failure, whether we have them do daily weights to make sure that they're not retaining too much fluid, calling us as soon as they feel any shortness of breath. So really ask a lot of questions of your physician.
And I guess as simplistic as this might sound, when you fill a prescription, usually the prescription comes along with some information from the pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important, I guess, to read that information, isn't it? To, you know, look for possible side effects and when to take the medication, take it with food, take it at bed, what have you.
Yeah.
To know what the heck you're taking and to be aware of, you know, whether if there may be a side effect from it.
Yeah.
And you bring up another point I want to share with you, and that is, and our listeners, that we at Novena Associates are active in a lot of organizations to help make a difference, like our caller Liz, who called earlier about a concerned neighbor. And we're active in a group called the Caregiver Volunteers of Central Jersey. And they're a volunteer group who helps seniors achieve a sense of autonomy and age in place within the privacy of their own home. And the Caregiver Volunteers, among other things, Doc, will provide socialization. They'll visit with clients and spend some time with them, an hour or two a week. They'll also do, they have volunteers that will actually do their food shopping for them, so that helps with the nutritional component. And among other things, they actually have canine caregivers who will go, pets who will come and visit the patient in their own home. So there are little ways of socializing and helping someone stay safe in their home.
Sure.
And it's a great resource along with the other services you mentioned, like the food banks and the Meals on Wheels and the socialization that's out there in Ocean and Monmouth County. And as you mentioned earlier, polypharmacy is a big one. To know sometimes whether or not a patient is at risk, it also is very important and helps if you have a perspective of the patient, because what might be a normal conduct or behavior, normal is a relative term, and somebody may do things that you and I might think are normal, but for them they're not. But if you don't know enough about the patient, you may not realize whether or not it's common for them to be doing what they're doing. So I guess you really got to document and get to know the patient as well as you can, because if their status and behavior changes, that might tip you or someone off that they're at risk.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's one of the big advantages of our practice, is that we get to spend a lot of time with a patient. If I see 8 patients or 7 patients in a day, they're getting 30 to 40 minutes of time per patient. And there's not a physician's office on the planet where you're getting 30 or 40 minutes for a routine
visit.
That's
a very good point.
And you cannot take care of a complicated case in a 5-minute office visit.
Yeah.
The patient's uncomfortable. They're sitting there for hours. You know, we like to say that, you know, when the family members are taking these patients to the doctor visits, and there's 3 visits that week, we really prefer you to go out and have lunch with your family when they come down from North Jersey to visit you. And you can't rush these visits. You have to allow that patient to ask those questions and make sure they understand the answer. They have hearing difficulties. They got visual difficulties. And it can't be you can't handle them in the same way as a 50-year-old.
Do you advocate or recommend, aside from all the other things we talked about today, that it's probably a good idea if people would consider also having a medical alert around their wrist or around their neck or something, so if they do fall, they can push a button?
Yeah, and there's more and more. There's so much good technology like that out there. There's Medic Alert. There's medication reminders.
That's right.
There are phone calls from skilled nursing groups that will actually, on a daily basis, they can check weights. They can check your blood pressure remotely. Again, the biggest problem with this, Bob, is who's going to pay for it.
That's true. Very true. Very true. Healthcare is a daunting task, for you, the physician who provides it, and your colleagues in the different disciplines, B, for the patient who may pay for some of it or not, C, for the government who has to fund it, and the rest of the listening public who have to try and understand it. And as you know, and I know, and our listeners know, I guess it's an ever-changing arena, and by no means are the changes done, just like changes in the law that are constantly occurring, which is why we welcome listeners to call the show and listen to the show every 2 weeks, because we like to keep you up to date of changes in the law, changes in medicine, changes in tax, and the whole array of things that affect us. And, John, I want to thank you for taking the time away from your family and your patience for coming on the show.
Well, thank you, Bob. It's been a pleasure.
Likewise, and I congratulate you on 34 years of practicing medicine and as many more years as you're able to and choose to practice it. And I appreciate the difference that you make in the quality of people's lives and giving them an opportunity to remain at home in the comfort and dignity and privacy of their own home and get health care on a house call basis, because it really, for my clients, many of whom are elders, it's a tremendous difference not having to bring in a taxi or a livery service or an ambulance or whatever it might cost to get them to a hospital or I should say to a doctor's office, as opposed to calling visiting physicians and having your colleagues or yourself come right to the client, to the patient at the end of their home. It makes a great difference. And I have worked with the people before, and I look forward to that again in the future. Thanks for coming on the show, and folks, listen to another edition in 2 weeks, where Jason White from my office will be interviewing Chad White from Safe Harbor Investments, talking about what's new in the financial arena. Thank you. Have a great weekend, and be well in your homes. God bless you all. Bye-bye.